Let's Get Moving with Maria. Inspiration to spend a few minutes each day to get moving on the small things that can make a big difference in your life.
Thank you for joining me today for Let's Get Moving. Today we're going to talk about Valentine's Day and specifically the Valentine's Day blues. And with me is Mason Farmani. He's an intuitive personal life coach. Thank you so much for being with me today.
It's my pleasure to be here. Of course. Thank you.
So Mason, first of all, maybe we should define what the Valentine's Day blues are. Tell us what we're talking about here.
Well, so Valentine's Day blues is when, for one reason or another, and there are many reasons that could cause this, is that when the day comes, you feel depressed, you feel out of connection, you feel like something is not right and something is missing from your life. Obviously it has a lot of different causes, but it's caused by the connotation that this is the Valentine's Day and you should have a love in your life and it should look a certain way.
It's tough because we do have these types of societal norms and cultural expectations that kind of rule our lives.
Yeah. Well, definitely. A lot of it is what I call programming, right? I mean, when we're born, we don't think that when Valentine's Day comes in on February 14th, I have to have a certain conditions that have to be around in order for me to be happy. But as we grow up and we get into the society and we look at our family and we look at social media later on, we get these programmings that certain things should be a certain way. It's really the conditioning and the programming that is happening for us. And it's, for me, it's always been very interesting to look at it.
Right.
And see, when did it happen and how did it happen?
So when did it happen? How do you think it did happen?
So we have two different conditions to look at, right? There's a society, and then there's individuals within the society. And everybody has their own version of this whole Valentine's Day, how it came about with St. Valentine's. And there's, you know, there were a lot of different theories. And one which was interesting, it says that emperor back in the 1400s decided that people that were single, they were better fighters. So he made marriage illegal. And then St. Valentine's Day was actually marrying people in secret, in the opposition to the emperor, and then he found that he was doing it, and then he called for his death. So while it's interesting, then the notion of Valentine's Day, that this St. Valentine's was a messenger of love, came about, and it wasn't until later on in the years, in the 1900s, that it really became more of a celebrated with things.
Yeah, those like, things. You know, when did those
cards.
Come about? Roses, cards, chocolates.
Exactly, right? And then at the beginning, it was only about cards, right? It was just people, we used to write notes to each other and send it, and then when the printing machines got more complicated and more sophisticated than their cards that came in. And it was just cards for a while. And then later on, as we moved through the history, it became more about really material things. And now you can see today that somebody buys a plane for somebody for Valentine's Day. And then they show it off on social media. And then it entices this thing in people that that's what I want to have. That, you know, if so-and-so is getting this, then I want to have something similar. Or, going back to what we were talking about, the history, is so that has kind of come to where it is today. Now, as individuals that are in this society that we grow up in, It really is a programming that happens to us depending on where our environment is and what part of the social media we're looking at. For example, if you go to some other cultures, they don't celebrate Valentine's Day. But we celebrate it here, we celebrate it in the UK, and there are a lot of other countries that celebrate it. So it's how we watch other people react and the way they act towards this holiday. And, of course, the commercialization of what I call commercialization of love has a lot to do with the companies that benefit from it as well. So they work hard on us.
They
to
do.
Make sure that we buy those flowers and cards. And that's why a lot of people call it a Hallmark holiday.
Right. And if you don't give me those beautiful flowers and you just don't love me very much, do you? I mean, it just sets up. Yeah. We're just wired in this strange way now. I'm not sure how we turn it around.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think some of it, I work with people that, as a relationship coach, and I see that some of it is really when we're not whole and complete and in love with ourselves, that we're always looking for an outside source to make us feel loved. So if we pay a little bit more attention to ourselves, and if we exercise being complete or being just happy with ourselves, being able to sit with ourselves without needing interruptions and stimulus and, you know, somebody from the outside, then I think we have a different value system and we look at this whole thing differently. For example, I'm working with a young lady now that broke up about 3 months ago. And now she's on her way to feeling self-love and really healing from that breakup. So we were just talking about what happens on Valentine's Day. What do you think is going to happen to you? And she said, well, look, if I hadn't worked on myself to find peace with me, I'd probably be a little bent out of shape that day when it comes. But today I feel like, you know, it won't be so hard on me.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, though, for those folks who maybe aren't as happy with themselves as they should be, they're not going to turn this around in a couple of days before Valentine's Day. I'm wondering what tips you would give them to really change the way that they see Valentine's Day and really change their expectation of that day.
Yeah. So I think for people that are in relationship, I would say really try to make every day Valentine's Day, right? Like, you know, as soon as you feel that you feel loved or you feel that you love someone, the person that you're in a relationship with, show that love. Go out and get them flowers or get them a card or send them a beautiful note. Don't wait for the Valentine's Day to come, because if you practice that when you're in relationship, then now you're conditioning yourself out of that expectation that I only show and display my love on the Valentine's Day. But that's an easy one, right? Because people that are in relationship usually don't have as much of a blues around Valentine's Day that people that are not. If you're not in a relationship, first of all, you got to be honest with your feelings, right? I mean, if you're feeling sad, rather than try to be, you know, in denial of it or just try to ignore it, then just call it. Just say, you know, gosh, I'm feeling sad because I don't have a relationship. And so then just be with those feelings. If you find that those feelings are overwhelming and too much for you and they're taking you deep into possible depression, then get some help. Go to a friend that you trust and they can hold your heart and they can You know, there's a friend that will not take advantage of your shortcomings, but they would actually help you with the short, with that feeling that you're feeling, or call a coach, or call a therapist. And depending on the degree of how far your feeling is going, get some help. The other thing I recommend that really works well is practicing gratitude. So on that day or the day before, you know, find four or five relationships that you are grateful for having in your life, and send them some loving notes. Send them that, you know, let them know that how grateful you are that they're in your life. Studies have shown that when you show gratitude for love in other people, it doesn't have to be relationships, that it fulfills a part of you that you don't, that you're lacking. So if you're lacking a relationship and you send out these gratitude emails, cards, phone calls, or even better, it fulfills that part of you. Now, if you do it the day before the day of the Valentine's, you are less prone to have those blues, feelings of blues, than if you didn't. So that's just really two of the major ones. You know, like if you know you're going to get triggered by going to a party that everybody is in a relationship and everybody's sitting around being lovey-dovey with each other, well, maybe you don't go there that day. But you know, you still have to go work on the reason why you're feeling that way. But for that day, avoid the triggers.
Right. I want to go back to self-love and talk about that for just a minute, and why many of us maybe don't love ourselves the way that we should, and maybe how we can possibly maybe turn that around.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been working on this for a long time. And I have discovered, and again, it's not only me, but there's a lot of scientific studies behind it as well, that a lot of us are disconnected from our heart, disconnected from who we really are. And the way it has happened is that, you know, we're born being connected with who we are. And that's why if you go to a child and ask him for an opinion about something, they give you a very pure opinion because they're connected. They haven't had a lot of what I call head trash in their mind. And it all happens because we have to come up with defense mechanisms to work with the society. And with our parents and with our siblings and with our college roommates. And each one of those defense mechanisms that we build, it actually takes us further away from who we really are, because we're making those decisions based on failures versus this is who I really am and this is where I want to be. So if we're able to work through these layers, we get really more connected to who we really are. Because what happens is at the end of the day, now we have an image that we think it's us, but really the image was created out of these layers of defense mechanisms. So one of the things that I work with people and I recommend is really for people to just be able to sit with themselves. You know, whether it's meditation or just mindfulness, which is a form of meditation, really just trying to get back to, you know, what is it, who am I and who do I want to be, rather than this default system that has been created that we call us, which is really an image. So I have seen this work throughout the years, that once we start getting more connected to ourselves, then we start loving ourselves more. And we're more connected to ourselves. And then as a side effect of it, our gut feeling and our intuitions also become stronger. I know I had a very long answer for your question.
Oh, I loved your answer. You know, I can look at my life and myself, and I have a lot of great things about my life, but I tend to focus on that one thing about myself that I don't like. And I'm sure that's what you're talking about, that default defense mechanism of our image. But it does become tough. It's hard to overlook some of those things.
Well, it's hard to overlook him, but the first thing you do is you got to look at it and say, well, does this help me?
Of course not.
Contributing to me.
It doesn't.
Right. So if you just become present to the fact it's not contributing to me, then that's the first step. Any behavior you want to stop or change, you got to look at it and say, okay, well, it's not contributing to me. And I think the second step is you just, every time it comes up, all you have to do is acknowledge that it is up, right? You just say, oh, my God. If it's an anger issue, for example, as soon as you start feeling the anger in your body, you're like, okay, this is that anger that I've decided that it is not contributing to me. And you just acknowledge it and you take a breath, right? Because a breath is always, so the distance between a trigger and a reaction is always a breath. Right, so you just stop and you take a breath. And then the more you become present that this is not contributing to you and you acknowledge it, the more there's a distance between you and that behavior. Now, if you're able to really just figure out, okay, so if this is a behavior that's not serving me, then you choose what behavior you want to replace that with. For example, if it's anger that you're dealing with, maybe you want to replace that with love. Maybe you want to replace that with curiosity rather than anger. That's even better than love for the first step. And then you just become curious rather than go to anger. Right? So you take a breath, you acknowledge that this is not working, this is the behavior that I don't want to have in my life. And then you take a breath and you acknowledge that that has come up. And then you're like, okay, well, I always want to go to curiosity. So then you ask questions. Like, okay, so are you saying da-da-da-da-da instead of going to a reaction?
I love that answer. I want to go back to what you were talking about, making every day Valentine's Day, because I think oftentimes we aren't as appreciative, as grateful as we should be for the relationship every day. And instead of focusing on that one day, just think about how much we appreciate our relationships every day.
Yeah, I mean, look at it. Just by saying it, it lightens the room, right? I mean, when you think about it, that if I was just grateful for a relationship that I'm in, whether it's your parents or it's the one that you're married to, or, you know, whatever the relationship is, if you just acknowledge that on a regular basis or go buy flowers, it doesn't. And here's the other thing, is the feminine and masculinity roles that we have in our society, right? That the guy usually has to do most of it. Even in a gay relationship, I see that the masculine person has to do the most of the work on that day. But if it's just a mutual thing, and we practice it on a regular basis, then you don't have to wait for that day and pay 10 times the price to make it happen. I have an interesting story to share with you. When my wife, I've been married for 20 years, and when my wife and I first met, one of the first things we discussed after talking about, you know, the really important stuff was the Valentine's Day. And she asked me, she said, do you believe in Valentine's Day? And I said, well, I think it's a beautiful thing to express your love for somebody, but you don't have to wait for the day to make it happen. And she said, great, because I feel the same way. So it's that's when our contract started, right? That
right.
We don't really wait for that day to happen. And a year later, into dating, one of my assistants said, oh, my God, you know, Valentine's Day is coming. Do you want me to send her flowers for you? And I said, look, if I send flowers on Valentine's Day, she's going to be really mad at me. She's going to think I've really done something wrong. So you can see that you can reverse this whole thing by contract, by agreement, that you just have with your partner.
Right. One of the things we haven't talked about is one problem with the celebration is that people who aren't celebrating or feel like they're not celebrating, part of it is loneliness, is what I'm getting at. So how do you feel about alternative celebrations then, things like Galentine's Day and things like that? Does that really make us feel less lonely?
Yeah. I think, look, every time that we try to uncondition ourselves with something that doesn't serve us, that's a service to us. That is something that we're doing to change. Now, we don't want to change it in a way that we replace one bad habit with another bad habit. But anytime that we try to figure out, okay, well, so this doesn't serve me, but this does serve me, then you are working on contribution to yourself.
Mason, I've enjoyed our conversation. Are there any final words that you'd like to leave folks with?
I think that, for one thing is I always tell my clients and everybody else that, if you want to live an extraordinary life, you really should work on breaking the default systems of your life, things that you just go unconscious and do, rather than stopping and thinking and saying, is this going to contribute to me or is this not going to contribute to me? Is this a programming by something else that does not contribute to me, or is it my decision? Is it my free will, or have I given my free will to the media and to the social media? So I would just say that the same thing with the Valentine's Day. It's just really break through the default. And if you're going to do it, make sure that it is your choosing to do it rather than a programming.
Mason, how can our listeners find out more about you?
You can definitely go on farmanicoaching.com. There are ways to find out about me on there. And then there's also a place where you can get in touch with me. And my purpose is to help as many people as possible. So if anybody reaches out to me, I would appreciate it.
All right. I appreciate your help. Thanks so much for being with me today.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for the invitation.
My guest today has been Mason Farmani. He's an intuitive personal life coach. And thank you for joining us for Let's Get Moving. You can find out lots of helpful health and fitness tips on our socials. Find us at Moving Maria on Instagram and Let's Get Moving with Maria on Facebook. Have a great day.